Hallo und herzlich willkommen beim Podcast von Rethink Peer-to-Peer-Kredite. Mein Name ist Danny Neithardt und das hier ist der Finanzpodcast für intelligente Privatanleger, die sich gerne umfangreich und tiefgründig mit der Geldanlage Peer-to-Peer-Kredite beschäftigen wollen. Ich begrüße dich zur 23. Folge des Rethink Peer-to-Peer-Kredite Podcast. Heute gibt es ein Interview mit den beiden wohl wichtigsten Verantwortlichen bei Debitum Network. Es handelt sich hier zum einen um Martins Liebertz, einen von drei Mitgründern von Debitum Network, und auf der anderen Seite Sergei Demschuk, der seit November 2019 CEO der lettischen Peer-to-Business-Plattform Debitum Network ist. Ja, es ist ein insgesamt halbstündiges Gespräch, was du gleich auf die Ohren bekommst. Kleine Warnung vorweg, insgesamt ging das Gespräch circa 40, knapp 45 Minuten lang, aber ich habe leider die zweite Datei, die bei diesem Gespräch entstanden ist, verschusselt nach meiner Litauen-Reise. Ich bitte dies zu entschuldigen. Und insofern wundert euch nicht, wenn das Gespräch am Ende leider etwas abrupt abbricht. Nichtsdestotrotz gibt es eine halbe Stunde lang Content und auch, wie ich finde, sehr interessanten Content, denn es geht darum, wie ist Sergei eigentlich CEO bei Debitum Network geworden und welche Auswirkungen und welche Konsequenzen wird das Ganze jetzt auch für das Unternehmen haben im Hinblick auf die weitere Zukunft. So viel kann ich vorweg sagen, ich bewerte das Ganze sehr positiv. Das ist einer der Gründe, warum ich mich auch dazu entschieden habe, Anfang des Jahres 2020 mein Investment bei Debitum Network auf über 3.000 Euro auszubauen. Weitere Details dazu, warum ich aktuell von der mittelfristigen Entwicklung bei Debitum Network überzeugt bin, das erfährst du am kommenden Freitag. Dort werde ich nämlich nochmal auf ein paar weitere Gründe eingehen, warum ich aktuell diese Entwicklung bei Debitum Network sehr, sehr positiv bewerte. Auch für dich persönlich gibt es ein kleines Zückli, wie der Schweizer, glaube ich, gerne zu sagen pflegt. Und zwar für alle die, die gerne neu bei Debitum Network investieren wollen. Für die habe ich eine sehr attraktive Neukundenkampagne aushandeln können. Es gibt hier einen unbegrenzten 3% Cashback im Monat November für alle, die sich über meinen Affiliate-Link registrieren. Die haben dann 30 Tage Zeit, ordentlich Gas zu geben, um sich hier einen sehr, sehr schönen und attraktiven Cashback-Bonus zu sichern. Mehr dazu findest du dann auf meinem Blog. Ich würde dir aber sowieso empfehlen, einfach mal sich dieses Interview anzuhören, gerne auch noch Freitag dann den weiteren Content, den ich veröffentlichen werde. Und falls du noch kein Investor bist, beziehungsweise auch wenn du es bist, solltest du dir das auf jeden Fall anhören, um dir mal anzuhören, welche Meinung ich aktuell von Debitum Network habe. Jetzt viel Spaß mit dem Gespräch und ich schalte rüber nach Vilnius. Rethink Peer-to-Peer-Kredite heute von der Fintech-In-Konferenz aus Vilnius in Litauen und ich sitze hier mit zwei der wichtigsten Männer von Debitum Network. Martins Liebertz auf meiner linken Seite.
Guten Martins. Tag. Guten Tag.
Still on the nose his German. Just like last time. And we got Sergei next to me. He's the new appointed CEO of Debitum Network.
Hi.
Yeah, so that was the biggest change that recently happened with Debitum Network. Sergei, you have been appointed the new CEO of Debitum Network. I think it was since November.
Yeah.
Maybe before we start into how that actually happened, a little bit about your professional background.
Okay, hello everyone. Yeah, my name is Sergei Demchuk. I have 14 years of banking and microfinance experience. I'm from Ukraine originally. I used to work for several banks in Ukraine and in Russia. Then I joined an international microfinance company. I launched several microfinance institutions in Moldova, in Romania, and later in I stayed in Moscow and launched and supervised our microfinance institutions in different countries. Recently, as you told, I joined the Debitum Network. Since November, I'm here with Martins and other colleagues. We are developing this platform.
Okay.
And what I think was very surprising to me, because I remember we met at peer-to-peer conference, and I think it was towards the end of day one, we all three have been together waiting for the burgers to come to us. And I remember you, since back then you were working for MicroCapital, and you've been very enthusiastic about, hey, could we join Debitum Network? And you were very passionate about it. And Martins was kind of, okay, yeah, let's see, you know, if we can get along. And not a half year later, you're part of Debitum Network. How did this happen?
Well, yeah, that actually was first time when we met with you and you, first time, yeah, face to face. Before that, we had Skype conversation. Before that, I went to Lithuania. I came to Lithuania like twice, because at that moment we were considering in MicroCapital to launch our own marketplace or to join another company. So that was actually the background of our first meeting. Yeah, and for us in MicroCapital at that moment, we really considered it's a really good opportunity to work with retail investors with a decent interest rate for investors. Yeah, and yeah, I was really fascinated by this idea following different marketplaces and being private investor by myself. Yeah, so this is how it started, our discussion. And actually what we can say, that I think we will discuss a little bit more about it later, but we have a MicroCapital onboarded on the platform, and it happened, let's say, independently or in parallel with my onboarding. So we started that process of I was on MicroCapital side at that moment, yeah. Martins and the team, they started onboarding MicroCapital Romania, and almost at the same time I arrived as the CEO and the MicroCapital Loans arrived on the platform. Yeah, but I would say that after 6 years working in microfinance, maybe sometimes it's like it's happening that you have to change what you do in your life, and I consider it is a good opportunity for myself to switch from being a loan originator on the loan originator part, because I know very well how it works, how we disburse loans, how we assess risk for SMEs. And now it's a new challenge for me to work with Debitum.
Let's bring Martins into the conversation. Yeah, Sergey is the new CEO of Debitum Network. Why and what has been the thought process behind it? And did you approach him, or how did it evolve?
Hello again. I think it was... it was a mutual discussion. It happened like our connection got in from mutual discussion. Mm-hmm. I have been looking into that step, however, for some time already, maybe a year or so. Previously, I had some other candidate that I was considering for that, and there was quite a simple reason. I think that a CEO, like the one that is in charge of all the operations, daily, like of all the daily run, etc., strategy, and etc., that I think you need to have a really good finance professional in that. I also have the background, I think I can do it, but I also think that I can do other things on a better level. So that's exactly why I thought we need this switch inside the company, so that someone takes over the company, how it goes, strategy and all the daily things, figures out how to reach the goals, while I can concentrate on some larger issues and help and concentrate on some other issues. So I think it's really a nice switch, and at the moment I think it really works well. And if you look at Sergey's CV, then you understand that his finance experience is like three times bigger than mine. So I think it's really step up for me. And it's like how they always say, right? Make sure that you are not the smartest guy in the room. So I made sure that I'm not the smartest guy in the room.
Okay, good understatement from your side. Okay, so now you've been thinking about adding a CEO to Debitome for about a year, if I understood you correctly. What would change now in terms of the company structure and the processes? What is now changing, basically?
I would say that radically is nothing is changing, at least not at the moment, and I don't foresee that in the near future something will change radically. We still have all the same things and all the same operations. We have operations, we have loan origination, due diligence, investor attraction, marketing, etc., etc. So nothing of that changes radically. Radically, in my understanding, I think one thing that has changed already is that the blog will be a bit different. So it's kind of maybe like most visible thing, right, for users. But otherwise, I think every process will become a bit better. In turn, on a detail level, right? Because Sergey is bringing his experience from his vast background of finance operations, and I think that will give like small, gradual improvements that will make everything better.
Sergey, what is the appeal sitting on top of leading the ship of Debitome Network, and maybe what's your vision now with Debitome Network? How do you want the platform to evolve from now under your command?
Appeal is to overcome Martin's results. No, I can see, I think this way, because I did startups when I came, for example, to Romania when there was no one at all, and it always so cool when you can look back in 1-2 years and see what has been done. And as to Debitome, I see that the big work was done already to establish this, to come from idea to really full functional platform with loan originators on that, and with the investors on that, on one side loans, and on another side investors. So it's like mechanism is working already, which is really cool. I think now is the most important is just to work and work and work, and maybe to do it more systematically, more in a structured way, so we can see there are more new loan originators, at least in due diligence, in onboarding process. And the more we have loans on the platform and more assets attractive for investors, the more volume of invested funds we have, which is the main target for our, let's say, 1 and 2 year plan, which we discussed before and joined it. So we established certain business plan, how much loan originators, how much funds we need on the platform to achieve our desired goals. So that's our business plan. We agreed that before I joined it makes sense.
What I think is a nice what connects both of you nicely is your previous experience from the other side, basically, not on from the marketplace, but from being loan originators, leading up lending companies, particularly also SMEs. When you entered or when you joined Debitome Network, how did you, because they also look very detailed to the loan originators, and they their partners need to meet certain criteria. When you went into the company and you also have tons of experience in that field, do you feel like they have been working appropriately until then, or will you fix maybe a few elements in the recruiting process of loan originators, or you go along with Martins and the other people have set up until now?
Well, of course we will change something. That's for sure. But because it's always space for improvement.
Yeah. Can you be also specific then?
Okay. Let's be specific. Our onboarding process was not so structured, I would say. So we did call our onboarding team did cold calls, And then if someone is interested, for example, we immediately started to pushing them with due diligence process, for example, before, let's say, establishing. And then on the later stage, for example, we can find out that this company is not eligible to one or another reason. And what we did, we just created kind of like eligibility criteria, how we can start before going into, let's say, difficult onboarding due diligence process.
Yeah.
So it's like to shortlist those companies. That will allow us to concentrate more on, let's say, best clients on the market.
Yeah.
That's easy when you do like short eligibility checking of the client. And then you see, okay, this is good for us. Then we also decided, okay, let's do kind of like a good, not good gesture, but we send them terms and conditions on which we can work, which brings more trust in us for loan originator. Then they understand that, okay, these guys are not just talking via Skype with us. They are ready for specific terms and conditions for us. And that's how we already improved a little bit the process.
Yeah.
You can add because you see it from your side.
Sure. You can add, but what I hear out is it's essentially it's the process that's adjusted, and to me it's also I wanted to know fundamentally from the criteria that you say there needs to be a different level of skin in the game for new corporations or something that really fundamentally changes the requiring process. For new cooperation partners, but this seems more of how you structure the process. So there don't seem to be that many changes.
No, not are that they? Many changes.
No, I think also that not like radical changes because actually the process was structured quite nicely. I think I want to add that I think where additional benefit comes is that my background and our background, my background was more into factoring. While Sergei's background is actually more into business loans, agricultural loans, and other type of loans. So now I think within the team, we can reach expertise. We have expertise in more wider kind of products, and I think that's good. Of course, that might bring some more differences later on, maybe in due diligences, etc. Like maybe more like radical changes. But I think now what is happening basically is that we started off with more maybe regional approach to our local like market where we kind of know the players and we can maybe approach them more casually. And now Sergei is moving it to be more corporate approach, being able to structure it more and making it more global. And the results show actually, because I correct me, but I think it's more than 10 loan originators in somewhere in the due diligence process. Or in the negotiation process, and we didn't have that number before. And I think one of the things is the way how we approach things and how we position ourselves. And I think it's already a good job done.
Okay. Yeah, I think the last time we had an exchange about this, or I don't know if it was with another employee. I think it was in the room. I think 77% of current loans are factoring loans, and now with your reputation and especially with your network, will there be probably more classical business financing companies joining Debitum? And I mean, like, we can also talk about microcapital, that your former employee, where you also nicely shifted over their loan portfolio now to Debitum network, and what is about to follow now?
We will see regarding the proportion of factoring and SME loans. We will see that how it goes. Actually, the factoring is really attractive for our investors. And what we are doing now, for example, like a part of our work, is to interview and to ask investors. And we are going to interview as well after that. So you will give your feedback. And the question is that it should be probably a good mix of both products, because SME loans, they are longer, and once again there are different strategies. One investors, they choose shorter loans, shorter assets, and with lower interest rate. Someone prefers longer, like even 2-year loans. But if we talk about SME loans, you should be prepared that that would be like 1-2 year loan asset. And yeah, that makes different. And we are studying that now, and we will see how it goes with our investors. That's what's going now.
And actually, as we are doing this, we are trying to reach out to investors. If any active investor is listening, I think it would be great if you gave us a note on, say, support@debtum.network. And give us your phone number or consent, and we will reach out to you and discuss some feedback. It will be really, really awesome. Okay. I use the opportunity.
Yeah, so in the feedback stage, interesting. Okay, yeah, so maybe that was, I just spontaneously tried to think about something here. Previously to this interview, Sergei was so kind and invited me to a conversation that he had with UK loan originator, trying to understand whether they meet the criteria or if there's a mutual benefit from collaborating with each other. And obviously what I figured out is you have a very clear understanding about, you know, what kind of questions you need to ask, and understanding, you know, if there's a mutual benefit coming together. I think that probably is a very big asset that you bring to Debitum Network, speeding up the process in a way. What is the short-term list for new loan originators that you want to bring to the platform?
You want to hear names, or what do you mean, short list of like companies? What type of companies?
No, I think what's very interesting, because I some days ago I met with Martins from Mintos, and I think he said like vaguely like there's more like about 1,000 lending companies that they screen from the alternative lending space, and you know how much they watch more closely and how much are on the short list to come to the platform. Do you have like a similar structure where you say like, okay, for business and factoring loans, those, this is how big the market is, those is the ones we have close into consideration, and do you have like a funnel for this basically? Okay. And how does it look like right now?
Okay, I think they have more than 1,000, because 1,000 is in our list. So yeah, we have screened like 1,000 of loan originators. But what is for Debitum? We concentrate on Europe. So we have so far we have only loan originators from Europe. We are now in discussion with Belarus and Moldova, but that's like Belarus is neighbor of for Lithuania, and Moldova is also, it's like actually it's associated member of European Union so far. And what we have in our short list, we have Macedonian clients, we have clients from Albania, actually from Balkans. We have Spain, we have UK. Tomorrow we will have a loan originator coming to our office. They participate on this conference as well. And hopefully soon we will be proud to announce that they become our partners. We'll see. Yeah, so how it looks, we concentrate on factoring and SMEs. And what is different, for example, for us, we are ready to start with small ticket, comparing to other platforms, and we can grow together with them, like step by step, increasing volume on the platform, thus checking them if they are reliable or not, etc. And referring to what you said at the very beginning, it's very important. I like that Martin says quick fail issue. So it's always good to check very quickly at the beginning, interviewing a loan originator, no matter loan originator or any other partner, just to check it quickly if it's eligible, if it fits you or not. Otherwise, you just waste your own time and the partner time. So it's always better to ask professional questions at the beginning, understand you can collaborate or not, and then you will proceed with maybe more detailed questions, etc. So that's it.
you know the, you both know the loan originator perspective inside out. What from your particular network? Sorry, we'll get to you in a minute. What
you involve him, please, because you see he's.
Next question is for you, but now I just want to understand, because since Sergei is the new CEO and we haven't been able to talk that much yet.
Sure.
How, from your perspective. And you know the loan originator side very well. What is the biggest border for them in order to collaborate with Debitum? What is the biggest obstacle most lending companies need to overcome in order to be compliant with your platform?
Yeah, that's I can answer very, very transparently, the price. Because that's the main issue. Usually good SME loan originator can get loans from institutional investors with low interest rate that usually marketplace places offer now. So that's the main issue, this gap between, let's say, desired interest rate for investors and desired cost of fund for SME loan originator. That's the biggest issue. And usually this is this gap like 2-3%. So to be honest, like most of loan originators we are speaking with, okay, depending on country, their background, their shareholders, etc., but usually they desire cost of fund like 6%, 7%, 8% maximum, let's say, most of them, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can go up a little bit, because consider that they usually disburse loans with interest APR, yeah, annual, if you put all together like 25-30%, sometimes a bit more, but that's real situation with them. They work on that field, and that's why for them it's really sensitive to get cost of fund with like 10 or 12%. I think this is the main issue, and we still try to manage this, and we will face this problem in the future. I think we have to work like both sides. We need win-win situation. I spoke with one investor on our platform, and he said we as a platform, we have to make that both sides are they are satisfied. Yeah. Investors with good return and safety of their investments, and at the same time, loan originators with a decent price. I mean, not really expensive, because if they have a higher interest rate for cost of funding, they will charge more from the final borrower. It will bring more risk, and finally, both sides might be damaged. So that's the main issue so far, because we are in a competitive market.
Martins, one question. Thanks that you're still with us.
Maybe we need to tell that it's evening here in Vilnius already.
Yeah, everybody's gone already. It's already time to clean up here, but thanks for standing your ground and still sitting on the chair. Tell me about the status with Forty right now.
As we wrote like a long time ago now, actually it has been a long time, right?
August or something.
I think it's even now. It was June or July, I think, when we did it. I think it was July, end of July, because we got quarter two results in July. So then we made the decision that we do not believe in the sustainability of their business and the sustainability of their activity. We do understand that different themselves most likely and different other platforms might have different views, but we stand strong by our analytical team, and we believe that we saw fears that they will not be able to pay on their end of duties. So we actually we had a point in all our partnership agreements that we can request a buyback, immediate buyback, if we feel that it's an unsustainable situation for the loan originator.
That was the sign for a linked video that I did on the buyback guarantee.
Yeah, okay, awesome. Yeah, go there, yeah. Go there. And because of that, yeah, we executed that and actually paid us all out, paid us all back, and we settled the case. We thought of following them like every quote, etc. But I think that we have terminated the agreement recently by their request. So because we were good to
they
check.
They requested to terminate the
yes,
contract.
Yes, yes, I think so.
Okay.
Let's see how it ends up. I think they just have requested. I think let's see how it ends up. Yeah. We are still discussing a bit because we want to follow it, of course.
Yeah.
But seeing that they have and they still had and I think still have issues with paying back on some other platforms, I think that we made a really good decision.
Yeah.
And it was purely based in our analytics. It was purely based in math, to be honest. So financial analysis and math and statistics. And so I think that shows that our team is capable of doing something really good. And or maybe it just shows that our team actually does something compared to others. I don't know. It's how you look at it. Or maybe we are just pure lucky, you know. Every opportunity is possible.
Maybe everything.
Maybe everything, yes. No sense. So we are happy that we did it. It was a very, very tough call, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how it's like how like your viewers see it in Germany, but in our Central Eastern European region, 40 was considered to be top company or maybe one of the top companies.
Yeah.
So we were very happy when we managed to onboard them. We felt that is a big win for us in early 2019. And we were really stressed and we were really careful making the decision to ask them to buy back everything because of that historical perception of the company. But we did what we had to do, and I think it was the best for our investors, and that's exactly what we are looking for, right? We want to make sure that our investors are as safe as possible, and even maybe that's not the best term to use for investment, but we really feel that investments or opportunities on Debitum are relatively safer if you compare it with other opportunities based on all the covenants, collaterals, etc., process, etc. So that's kind of situation in short.
Is there still some outstanding claims for Debitum that you didn't get back?
No. No,
everything reimbursed.
Yeah, yeah. It took. It wasn't like that, but everything was done quite quickly.
Okay. Good. One more sensitive topic. I will turn to you again. To me, it's like, you know, Debitum. You know, like you're still a very young company. You know, you turned 1 year old in September, and you know when I saw the. One of the employees that I think has started with Debitum from the beginning. We don't need to say any names here, but I was in good touch with him. Then you had a new marketing CMO, former PeerBerry marketing head, and I think she left then after 3 months. Now we have a new guy in place here with Sergey, and just what I see from the outside perspective is that there's, you know, a lot of change, and ideally, especially when you have a young company, you want to have like a sustainable team of people, you know, that you work with. And today I got to meet a few of your new employees as well. So how do you see that personally? Obviously, you know, it always, you know, is inevitable that eventually employees leave or for whatever reasons, you know, but it's just like what I can see from the outside to people that I know. I don't know, maybe in the background there was even more people changing the environment. How do you look at the, let's say, fluctuation or the staff changes of Debitum recently? Is that something investors somehow have to be concerned about?
No. Thank you. No, but okay, first of all, actually no, because the core competence, I think anyway, for us, the core competence is in analytics. The one that is analyzing the risk, analyzing the loan originators, following up, doing all those stuff, and that has not changed from day one, or from day minus 300 something, right? Or 700 or many, many hundred before. So those things don't change. What I think, I will answer a bit more philosophically. What I think is that sometimes, and I think that sometimes, especially maybe young companies, they might make a mistake to sit with the situations that they have, while we are very demanding internally and externally, and we feel, and sometimes we feel, or sometimes someone feels maybe that it's too much or something, but we think that we need to, it's better to change till we get the best fit possible, rather than sit with someone that is not the best relationship, right? And now it's a relationship advice for everyone, so it's better to split up and get a new husband or wife, rather than just sit there for like 20 years and be unhappy, right? And that's what we are doing, basically. We are really pushing hard on what we want to achieve, and for someone, and how we want to operate, how we want to see efficiency.